Bruce, good morning. Thanks for joining us again. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah, we're doing very well. And the Jimbo Fisher Texas A&M stuff is still percolating this morning. What's your thoughts about maybe the impending hire of Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M?
You know, I think that would have to be the biggest move that A&M could make. If not, you know, they got rid of Mike Leach. I'm not sure who else they would have gotten who would have been like, okay, I get this move. This is a big-time get. Well, Jimbo Fisher's won a national title, did a really good job at FSU. I know they struggled this year, but, you know, beyond that, I mean, he's a big fish for them. Keep in mind, the AD at Texas A&M, Scott Woodward, he and Jimbo Fisher worked together when they were at LSU years ago. There's a good relationship there, I'm told. So, you know, a lot of people have come after Jimbo Fisher to get him to leave. Certainly LSU did once upon a time, you know, a year or two ago. And I think this is a big step for A&M, but also it opens up another big job in what's been a really wild coaching carousel already in the last month or so.
Bruce, before this job at Florida State opened up, I have been asked repeatedly which is the best job out there, and I've always said it was Texas A&M because of their endless resources. Did you see it the same way?
Of all the jobs, did you?
Yeah.
Or just, no.
Yeah, of all the jobs.
No, I think Florida's a better job, and I know you have your heart for the Aggies, as you always do, but
he's being facetious, America.
Here, listen to. Let me put it this way. So, in the last half century, the Aggies have had one top five finish. You know, Kevin Sumlin did that in his first year. Florida's won, you know, three national titles. I mean, just in the last 15 years. You know, they both have great recruiting bases. Florida's is probably even better than Texas A&M, but the other reason I think is because the leadership at the top, and I'm not just, this is not necessarily a AD versus AD, but I think Florida is a little more manageable in how they do business than, mm-hmm. You know, you got boosters and Board of Regents and just a lot of people who can get in the way. Now, Texas A&M's facilities, there are none better than what they have, but I think it's more than that. Now, they do have a great recruiting base. It's just Florida also has it. I think Florida is also in the more manageable side of the division. You do not have Nick Saban over there. You do not have, you know, you do not have LSU and Auburn, and it's a deeper side. You basically have Georgia, and then you have Tennessee that's going through its own crazy search. It just, in my mind, Florida is the top one, and then I would say it's a little down, and then it goes to Texas A&M. But if FSU jumps in, I think FSU is, because of the recruiting base, because of the talent you'd inherit, I think FSU is even better than certainly A&M, and maybe even than UF.
Do you believe that this Tennessee coaching search fiasco is going to end up with Mike Leach?
I don't know what, you know, I wish, I really can't even guess on this one, because I know, you know, we reported last night that Mike met with them out in L.A., I'm told it went well, but it's hard to read. Here's the problem with the Tennessee search is, you know, Mike Leach could want to be on board, and somebody he met with from Tennessee can really like him. But I'm told that, you know, at Tennessee right now, it is such a, I don't know, it's such a mess there with so much infighting going on and backstabbing within, you know, the Tennessee brass and the people who are involved in the decision, that, you know, a couple of them could try to nix the idea, well, we don't want Mike Leach here. We don't want that offense. He's too, you know, he's too crazy. He's, you know, it's like they could bring up some other reason and try to move on because they're just not comfortable with him. So right now it's I don't know, it's tough to get a read on that one, because I from what I've told, the Tennessee brass is really split in a lot of their decisions, and who knows how long the AD John Curry is going to be there. You know, we reported this earlier in the week that, you know, there's a lot of people there who are high up and influential who are trying to run John Curry out of there.
Why isn't T. Martin an option?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, look, he really would want to be there. He knows the program. He's done, you know, he's done a nice job at USC. I think the one big glaring thing there is he has no head coaching experience. Everybody they're talking to that I'm told are all head coaches and guys who've been head coaches actually on a big stage. And I had heard that the powers that be there felt like in order to have this job, you needed to have Power Five or big time coaching experience in college as a head coach. So,
well, Dan Mullen hadn't had any head coaching experience when he got the Mississippi State job, and I know the folks at Tennessee look at themselves on a loftier level than Mississippi State, but you look at the job he did there, and now he's at Florida, of course. So as I've been saying, Bruce, I think that prerequisite is only applicable to a certain demographic.
You could be right, BJ. I'm not going to argue with you on that. Look, Bob Stoops didn't have Power Five head coaching experience, and it worked out pretty well at your school's arch rival, didn't it?
So, yes, exactly.
So I think what it comes down to, though, is if you feel like you have a guy who is that good at what they do, and look, you know, he was a really good assistant in the SEC when he was at Kentucky.
Yep.
You look at some of the talent he developed. I mean, he had Randall Cobb, which, you know, was a great college player. He was coaching him. And some of these guys who now are having a lot of success in the NFL, Juju Smith-Schuster, you can go down the list of recent USC receivers. They've turned out probably a lot better or made an impact a lot faster than most people would have expected. And T. Martin was the guy who developed all those guys, and in some cases was the guy who recruited some of these guys. So I don't know. The least thing I would think is T. Martin probably deserves an interview, hey, let's sit down and see what exactly would be your game plan, how you're going to do this. Because, you know, this guy led them to a national title. It's not like we're talking about some guy who, you know, had a great career as a college player, but isn't even a college coach, is like some, you know, guy who just retired from the NFL and doesn't have any. You know, T. Martin is going to get considered for some head coaching jobs, whether it's a school like South Alabama, and I'm told he won't go take that. But there's jobs that, you know, head coaching jobs that I think he would be in the mix for. So it's not out of the line. The question is, it's a huge, you know, it's a huge job. But again, you know, you've turned over so many rocks in this search already. Why not at least kick the tires on T. Martin? I mean, early in the week, I had been hearing that he actually had a legit shot to get in the mix for it, but you know, I think there's a lot of, quite honestly, from the people I've talked to, I heard there's some pushback from some people there. And I don't exactly know why, that they wouldn't even have met with him.
Gio and Jones with Bruce Feldman, college football reporter for Fox Sports. Let's move on to the games this weekend. How do you feel about that Big Ten championship game, and who's going to come out on top?
You know, we had both of these teams in person this year with our TV crew. I think that, you know, if Ohio State is playing on its game, you know, I think they're really tough to beat. I think Wisconsin's good on defense. They're really, really well coached. I think Jonathan Taylor is a terrific running back. But when Ohio State gets going, I mean, they can be suffocating. It's just, they're a tough read because they've had a couple of clunker games, you know, and you can kind of write off, you know, Baker Mayfield was a great player and he lit them up on defense. I get that. I don't see Alex Hornibrook doing that. He's pretty streaky, but at the same time, I think Ohio State's going to win. I just think that it's been that kind of year. It's been that kind of year for, you know, that kind of twists with the, how things are working for the playoff committee. And I just think that would be kind of, cause it just seems like it's almost karmic that we're going to get another two-loss team in the mix beyond just what could happen with Auburn and Georgia.
Do you think the committee would opt for the Big Ten champion if it's Ohio State with two losses to get into the playoff?
I think they would. I mean, you look, they have a really bad loss against an unranked Iowa team. It wasn't close. That's going to be tough for some people to get around, I'm sure, in that CFP room. But they would have won a conference championship, and we know that's one of their big criteria, especially if it relates to having a second SEC team. They would have some really good wins. They would have beaten a top five Wisconsin team. They would have blown out a good Michigan State team, beaten Penn State. They have a win over Michigan. You know, the Michigan win doesn't carry as much weight as it would before, but that's at least three very good wins. Whereas you look at Alabama for against them, Alabama, yeah, they have one less loss. I think it would help Alabama if Auburn went on to beat Georgia and win the SEC title, but you know, they're basically going to be able to hang their hat on just their one pretty good win is against LSU, and LSU's 9-3. I mean, after that, it's unfortunate for them, but they have, you know, Mississippi State, who's 8-4. They're still, you know, hanging at the end of the top 25. Fresno State, we'll see if they stay in the top 25. But I just think they've told us, being the committee, that conference championships do matter. Who you beat matters. Now, a bad loss like that, especially on top of when they played Oklahoma, it wasn't really close. Oklahoma really took it to them. But if Oklahoma's in the playoff, you know, assuming they win, I mean, Oklahoma could be a one or a two seed. You know, I think they can get past that. Can they get past that?
But Bruce, let me push back, Bruce, because last year conference championships didn't matter, and Penn State had a bad loss there at Michigan, but their linebacking core was decimated, and the committee didn't take that into account, where they're trying to account for Clemson losing at Syracuse, and I see that as a bad loss because Kelly Bryant limped into that ball game, but Clemson's defense didn't limp into that ball game, and they couldn't shut down the Orange. So that doesn't jive with me, and I'm not yelling at you, I'm yelling at Bill Hancock and the committee, because from week to week and from year to year, they're changing the criteria.
They are, but keep in mind, BJ, from year to year, the committee does change, you know, the makeup of the people in the room. So it's hard to get a read on, you know, obviously every year is different, you know, to some degree. I think if Alabama was a one-loss team, but had lost in the SEC title game, and at least had the win over Auburn to go with that LSU win, I think they would have a really good chance of having two teams in. It's just, I think it's going to be hard. I think it's a harder case to make for Alabama, because unless you're saying, hey, we think that, you know, they're so good because we've seen this in years past from them, and they're not supposed to do that. The other thing is, you know, are they going to put any value in beating Florida State in week one? Florida State's going to be lucky to be 500. I know they had their starting quarterback hurt in that game, but after that, the season imploded. You know, it's not Alabama's fault. You know, I give them credit. They scheduled a top five, typically a top five team in that game, and it just kind of didn't turn out the way everyone expected it to be in terms of the merits of an FSU win. But I get it. Ohio State has a really bad loss or a two-loss team, but I'm not sure where you get the fifth team. Are we going to put two teams from the SEC in a year where I think most people would say it's been a pretty down year from the SEC across, you know, once you get past the top three teams? So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be fascinating, especially if Ohio State wins. If Wisconsin wins, you know, then I think you're looking at the four conference champs, pretty sure, unless TCU knocks off Oklahoma, and then it gets a little weird there, too.
Talking to Bruce Feldman on Geo and Jones, I think absolutely you're going to get two SEC teams if Auburn beats Georgia, if Oklahoma beats TCU, if Clemson beats Miami, and Ohio State beats Wisconsin. I think that they're going to put that one-loss Alabama team in there, because now the one loss that they have is to an Auburn team, will be, at that point, no doubt the hottest team in college football. I just don't see them putting two-loss teams in there, especially when Alabama's that one-loss team you're debating. I know both are big brands. I guess I have to decide which one of those big brands they like to give the benefit of the doubt to the most.
Yeah, I don't know if I really like to think that branding factor doesn't carry real weight there. You know, but again, I just come back to that Alabama resume of who do they beat. We keep hearing about how who you beat matters, and it just doesn't have enough weight in it, I don't think. You know, and I could definitely be wrong on this, but just from what the committee has said in the past and how much they've stressed, you know, look, that could be the case, but I think also there's a level of recency that also tends to come into this. If Ohio State beats Wisconsin and it's 31-17 or 31-10, watch out. I think that people are going to have a feeling, wow, this team is on its game now. And it's unfortunate in one regard, just because this isn't a case like a couple years ago where they were rolling from week two and they had a bad loss to Virginia Tech. You know, this is that loss to Iowa didn't happen that long ago. It was just, you know, it was just within a month. So, I mean, I can see you can argue it both ways. I'm just trying to, you know, read how I think the committee has, you know, kind of put out the things they kind of seem to emphasize.
Bruce, you know Kevin Sumlin fairly well. Where do you think he lands, or does he land at all? Is he back on the sidelines next season?
You know, my hunch is it's going to be one of two jobs if at this point. It would be Jimbo Fisher moves on, Florida State tries to snap him up, or Willie Taggart gets FSU and Oregon pursues Kevin Sumlin. I mean, the reality is, I mean, you see what his record is from his whole time from Houston and A&M. It's a pretty impressive total. And he was the only person who's led Texas A&M to a top five finish in the last half century. You know, he's a really good offensive coach. He's been a really good recruiter for years. I think he would be a pretty good get for some of those, for, you know, either of those programs. The thing that you have to keep in mind here is, with all these jobs that come open, Chip Kelly can't coach all these schools. Who are you going to hire for some of these? We're seeing that with Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee's been turned down by some guys that it kind of blows your mind that these guys wouldn't have taken it, and that they would even have the chance at Tennessee. So that's what's you know, kind of a head scratcher is, what are some of these schools going to do after all these dominoes start to fall?
Bruce, thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll talk to you at some point down the road.
All right, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, my man.
Bruce Feldman, college football reporter for Fox Sports, breaking everything down. Speaking of breaking things down, Coop, our security guard, no one does it better than him in picking NFL games, except for the fact he's 9-19-2 on the year. But forget about that. It's about the content. That's what it's about. You'll hear from him and Bogus next, but first you're going to hear from Brian right now.
That's right. I'm here again for Relief Factor, and maybe like me, you were a high school superstar athlete, or maybe you weren't. Or maybe you were a professional athlete, or maybe you weren't. Either way, I'll bet you have some aches and pains that are making your life miserable right now. Hard to get out of a chair, hard to golf or play tennis, or even walk up and downstairs. Hey, you don't have to be an athlete to have pain. Neck, back, shoulder, hip or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain can be a bummer. This is why I'm so happy with Relief Factor, 100% drug-free way to lower or even eliminate pain. It sure has worked for me and my pain. I've had pain in my elbow, my fingers, my wrists, my toes, all the places you can imagine. There's been pain, and Relief Factor has helped eliminate that pain. That's right, eliminate it. So here's what I suggest you do, like tens of thousands of other athletes and non-athletes have already done. Go to relieffactor.com, order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That's relieffactor.com to order now. Go to relieffactor.com. Maybe you're skeptical like I was, because I was pretty skeptical. Well, I'm not skeptical any longer, because I'm out of pain and you can be too. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com, or give them a call, 800-500-8384.
Keep up with the latest on the show on Twitter, at Gio and Jones.
So the morning show you're going to do at that 92.9 The Game?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Who's it now? Hugh Douglas and some old white guy, right?
Yeah. One of Chris Moe's homeboys.
So naturally. Yeah.
I've been on there with him before. So, Hugh and I would get to double up on the white dude.
Is Randy Cross okay with that? Because they fired him from there to hire those guys.
Is that is that the show Randy used to do?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Well, don't tell Randy I'm going to be on there.
Yeah, we'll text him.
No. I just told you don't.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said tell him.
Whoops. Oh, man. Okay. Oh,
too late.
So you always do the opposite, so tell him.
Hey, don't text Randy about that. Mm-mm. You're a traitor, man.
I'm a traitor. It's part of the company.
Yeah,
I'm a company man.
You going to put the company ahead of friendship?
Depends on what friendship pays.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. Randy's going to be very upset about this.
Well, you're not going to tell him, remember?
Oh, that's right. I forgot already. All right.
Boy.
Never mind. All right.
Judas.
But that's what you are.
How?
Taking a page out of your book.
No.
They fired your friend.
I've forgotten about that.
Well, I'm reminding you.
It was too late. I can't back out now, can
I? Sure you can.
Okay,
you.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, you don't pick up the phone for some other people that call you to be a guest. So, I mean, what's the difference here?
You.
What? You don't like the truth?
I'm not telling you anything.
Oh, why not just let it all out there, you know?
Why not?
It's December.
Put it out there.
It's December, by the way. Isn't
How
that crazy?
About that? Yeah. Doesn't that just sound odd?
It does. I'm not prepared for this. And
I'm not either. Someone said Merry Christmas last night. I was like,
Merry
huh?
Christmas?
Yeah. I was like, huh? What?
Yeah. Stop.
Really? Already?
I have this battle with my wife. She wants to play Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving. I say no. I said you could start December 1st. That's the compromise.
Oh, wow.
So now it's going to be nonstop.
They had Silent Night glaring in the restaurant last night. I was like, really?
We're going to get our tree on Saturday. We have to do that now. So I've got to. It's just such a pain in the ass.
It is a huge pain.
You're getting your real tree this weekend?
Yeah, real tree.
That's a gamble. It's a long time to keep that bad boy alive.
No, I do a good job with that. I have a bit of a green thumb when it comes to these things. Yeah. Warm water, by the way. Warm water.
Warm water
keeps it alive?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep, warm water is the way to go.
Hmm.
Yeah, and you got to let it, the beginning is when you really got to, you got to water it a lot. Let it soak it up. Usually by the time we get to Christmas, though, it's stopped drinking. It's done.
Right.
So, but, you know, in the beginning, it just sops you every day. Just drink. What do you do there, Mike? You're a little bit of both, right? You do a little bit of the Jew, a little bit of the Christian.
Yeah, we celebrate both. It's wonderful. Yeah.
You put a yarmulke on top of the tree as opposed to a star.
Yeah, well, it's actually a menorah.
Oh, it's a menorah on top of the tree. It's very, very...
And it's a little tricky because you light the candles and then the tree, you burn the house down.
And you buy the cheapest tree, right?
I think we actually have a fake tree. Oh, goodness.
That
did go over.
No, we kid because we love... You have a fake tree?
Yeah, fake tree.
So
allergies.
Well, you can't celebrate both. I mean,
yeah,
come
you
on.
Can.
Either
of course you
or.
Can. Ah. It's a joint household.
Either you believe or you don't.
No, you're missing the point. Mike's wife is not Jewish.
I understand that.
So she can celebrate
Christmas.
So she
needs to convert or Mike needs to convert.
No.
Well, the beauty of America, Brian, is you don't have to do that.
They
you can
don't
do
have
what you'd
convert.
Like.
They can do what they want.
The beauty of Brian is you have to convert.
The beauty of Brian.
Wow.
Is there some... That's a segment name for Better Man Show. The beauty of Brian. Pick one religion, won't you?
Pick up your mind.
You ain't got no two-religion household.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
It's going to be Chinese food or it's going to be turkey and dressing. Which one?
Amen.
I can't believe you get a fake tree. Someone's really allergic, you or your wife?
My wife.
So you're lying about that. You're lying about the allergy.
I don't know. We have a fake tree. I don't know.
Fake tree? You can't go fake tree, man.
Well, we
you
want a fake tree.
You got to have some guts. Who cares about the... You're doing a fake tree, too?
Easy. God. Simple. Doesn't burn down a place.
What? You put
what?
How many
Do
times
me a favor.
Does that happen?
Google Christmas tree fire.
Yeah. Okay. I've seen them.
Please.
Thank
I've
you.
I've seen them.
What do you mean you've seen them?
I've seen trees go on fire.
I'm with Pete on this. A lot of trees on fire.
Tell me one Christmas tree that you've been in the presence of that would ignited and burned a house down.
His friend, Bob.
No.
He was so full.
The fake ones can catch fire.
Yeah, of course they can.
Of course they can.
About?
Well, so I'm sure you're the, let me check my Halloween candy for the shaving blade that's never, ever happened.
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Gotta be careful these days.
What about you? You have to get a real tree.
Of course. It's the only thing to do.
Yeah, and it smells great.
Yes.
It's nice to have it in the house for a while. As much of a pain in the neck as it is to bring it back and then the stand and the watering and all that, it's worth it, man. It's worth it, the real tree.
We may even go to one of those farms where you cut it down and put it on the car. That's how far we might go this year.
Excuse us. Wow.
Yeah.
It's on the table.
And then you got to put the Instagram posts of you and your wife holding the saw together in front of the tree.
Well, the fear of fire is not great enough for us. I want to mix in the possibility of losing a limb while I cut it down.
Yeah, you may have a house, but I have six floors in an apartment building that would burn down.
What a terrible way to look at life.
Great point.
I mean, seriously, let's all pray for Pete.
Pete is...
I don't know if that'll help.
Pete's saving his entire complex from burning alive.
Yeah. Being a better man.
Mike, pray to both gods you honor in your house that Pete somehow gets a better outlook on things.
Is that okay, Brian?
No! It's not okay. I didn't know there were two.
One of the things that Mike does is the gingerbread men, they have the gefilte fish men, where they...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just do our taxes all day.
The gefilte fish men are very, very...
What kind of icing do you use on it?
Mayo.
Oh, no, definitely not mayo.
Oh, man.
It's quite a mashup between the two at the Bisaglia household.
Mm-hmm. We do it right.
You got to. Both religions, because there's the two religions.
Is there a menorah safe enough for you, Pete?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, electronic.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, that's what, eight times you're lighting that thing. You're
that's really, the thing you need to worry about.
Yeah, really playing with fire, no pun intended, huh?
Plastic.
Okay, let's do a bogus update. We got to hear from Coop.
Well, look who remembered how to score points and win NFL games last night.
Third and five from the 13. Prescott, timing route, end zone, up in the air. It's caught! Dez Bryant climbs the imaginary ladder for the touchdown.
An eagle on Westwood, 1 second.
Suck in these balls.
Touchdown pass of the night for Dak Prescott. It came on the first play of the fourth quarter, giving Dallas a 24-7 lead on Washington. And it made Dez the franchise leader in TD receptions. His Cowboys went on to win 38-14, keeping their slim playoff hopes alive at 6-6. Washington drops to 5-7, committing 4 turnovers along the way. The NFL continues to investigate Jameis Winston for allegedly groping a female Uber driver in March of last year. The Bucs QB said yesterday he has no fear of a suspension. Texas A&M Chancellor John Sharp said the Aggies should have a new football coach, quote, very shortly after a Board of Regents meeting yesterday, many assuming that new head coach will be Jimbo Fisher, who said yesterday he will coach Florida State tomorrow against Louisiana Monroe. Tennessee AD John Curry reportedly met with Washington State head coach Mike Leach yesterday, and Urban Meyer says JT Barrett will play tomorrow's Big Ten title game with Wisconsin, despite reports of minor right knee surgery on Sunday. The Cavalier win streak is up to 10 after a 121-114 win in Atlanta. Alec Burks, a career-high 28 off the bench as the Jazz won at the Clippers, 126-107. The Bucks, a 103-91 win in Portland, and the Celtics took out the Sixers.
Kyrie lining up Sarge. He looks around, realizes he's got no help. The help comes from Redick. Kyrie, no look in the corner. Jason Tatum for the put away. Good night.
Not everybody drives safely. Put your seatbelts on.
Sen Maxwell.
What? Was he all right? It sounded like he couldn't drive. Good night, everybody.
I know,
night,
really did. Oh, man.
108-97, the final for the Celtics over those Sixers. In a battle of top five teams, Michigan State handled Notre Dame 81-63. The San Francisco Giants and Giancarlo Stanton reportedly met last night in L.A. The Giants want the Marlins outfielder, but need him to waive his no-trade clause. And this was not supposed to happen in Edmonton.
Wrist shot, blocker to side by Laurent Brossoit. Rebound, score! 5-4, Leafs. Nazem Kadri found it at his feet and fired it home. No, it was shot in, I believe, by Russell. It wasn't Kadri. I think Russell spun and put it in his own net.
Yeah, Chris Russell, instead of clearing the puck into the corner, Russell put it by his own goaltender for the tie-breaking goal with 65 seconds left.
Good point shaving.
Patrick Marleau got credit for the goal. His Leafs won Edmonton 6-4.
Now we're going to get to Coop's picks here, but first, this game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. That time again when you have to choose between watching football, basketball, and hockey, stop making the hard decision and simply watch them all at Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports, Broncos and Dolphins at 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday, Brian.
Broncos 3-8 on the season. Miami 4-7. Broncos have lost 7 straight. That doesn't even sound right. Miami 5 straight losses. That sounds right. Von Miller, Cameron Rake, each have 8 sacks on the season.
Yeah, and hopefully this game isn't even played because these two teams suck. All right, so we have some picks from Coop, and this took a long time to get from Mikey B.
Better be good.
Right, it better be.
It's gonna be good.
It was a long, arduous day for might he be trying to get these picks from Coop? Coop is a security guard downstairs who can't speak English. He has a tough time, even though English is his first language, he has a tough time with that language. And it's very funny when he tries to make football picks. Does it need a setup with the fire alarm? Does it need that setup, Mike?
No, I bring it up to him.
Okay, all right. So this is Mikey B. Every week goes down to talk to the great Coop.
Coop, good morning. How are you?
Fine.
What was all that noise and chaos with the alarms?
Oh, they got to test, make sure that the building's safe. Make sure the alarm is working right. If there's a fire come out, y'all can get out. They're testing. The fire man see them guys, they're testing the alarm now. Your floor, 10 and 11. Go dig it right back, finish that floor.
First game, Browns at Chargers. Chargers favored by 13.5 points.
I'll take the Browns.
Why?
Because 2 minute points. I'm giving up 2 touchdowns to start off with. I ain't getting about no 2 touchdowns. I don't care if they play my grandkids. I ain't getting about no 2 touchdowns. That's 2 minute points.
New England favored by 9 in Buffalo.
New England.
What was that?
I take New England. Oh, man, I got to take New England. You got to be kidding. That's a team.
And finally, Giants at Raiders. Raiders favored by 9. I know you heard the news this week about Eli Manning being benched.
I got to take the Raiders. You got to be crazy. Don't take the Raiders. They got rid of a great quarterback and bring a garbage quarterback in.
Now, I'm not sure if you heard the news about Eli, but they're not even letting him dress. He has to sit in the seats with the fans.
It's not fair. They treat the man bad. He was a franchise quarterback, one of the best they had in a long time. And then you pitch a man on the side like that. That's no good.
What do you think about that Eli can't even dress for the game? He's got to buy a ticket. I heard they're about $300 in Oakland.
I wouldn't buy it. Oh, him, I wouldn't buy it. Oh, what he did for that team. Who are you going to put in place?
Geno Smith.
Oh, forget about it. For who? Give me a break. I'm going from sugar to an S. I ain't going to say no more word. I'm going sugar to I ain't going to say it. Geno. Good, my God.
From sugar to an S. Wait, if fire go out, got to get out.
He is just unbelievable. I love what he said. He asked about the Patriots, and he goes, kneeling. And Mike goes, what was that? New England.
What was that?
Wait,
go back again, Pete. Play that again, though.
New game.
What was that?
I think New England.
New England.
New England.
New England.
Mike, you have perfect timing in that, too. What was that? Excuse me, sir.
New England.
Fire, get out. You got to get out.
New England.
What was that?
I think New England.
Oh, he must have a tough time ordering clam chowder.
New England.
What type of chowder, sir?
New England.
We're all out of that one.
I'll order Manhattan.
Yeah, right. It's two of you in a place ordering clam chowder. You get thrown out. If I can go get fire, I'm going to get big. Get out. L. Rose.
God. Oh, man.
What a gem that is, that Coop.
Oh, gift that keeps on giving.
I mean, he went all out for Thanksgiving with the Enjoy Your Family. I can't imagine what he's going to do for Christmas.
Oh.
I mean, he's going to really... he might come in with a reindeer that day.
All the families had enjoy all the trimming, especially the big old turkey. Big old turkey.
Oh, man, I just picture him at the table with the clumps. Or the clumps, excuse me. The nutty professor. He'd be perfect.
Imagine someone like coming to the U.S. has no idea about Thanksgiving, and then Coop is the person that explains it to him. And then that's what they say. All the families have all the trimming and the tucker.
All the families had enjoy all the trimming, especially the big old turkey.
Oh, man.
I love that, man. How much do you love Coop, Mike? I mean, you really love this guy.
That's my favorite part of the week, talking to him. I do enjoy it.
Boys now, right?
Yeah. Oh, he hates me. He's starting to get annoyed by me.
Oh, is he? That's what I asked last week.
No, today he did it. He goes, oh, blank. Look who it is.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So I have to have the recorder rolling when I'm walking down the stairs.
No way.
We got to get him something, Brian. We got to get him like a gift card or something.
Yeah, let's do it. I agree.
I mean, he's giving us free content here. It's not like he's getting a paycheck from anybody except for being a security guard.
The big old turkey.
We're going to get him a big old turkey.
Enjoy your family.
Hey, Coop, here's a big old turkey for your family.
For your family. We are family.
Mm-hmm. And Hoon just look at it like, we're mine. Well, you opted out, dude, long time ago.
Right. We are fam-ee.
Family.
I got Calhoun with me.
Family.
How you like that, Hoon?
You hear that, Hoon? All right. We've got our...
You hear that, Hoon?
Ah! I can't take it. All right. Coming up next, we'll do our picks. I'm way ahead of Brian now.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we're going to do them.
Ah.
Maybe this is your week, man. Maybe this is your week. Coming right back.
New game.
What was that?
I think new game.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Time to answer our Ask the Pros question today, brought to you by Riley Auto Parts. This question comes from Cole in Charlotte. He said, what do you guys think of Grayson Allen on Tinder? Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free. And only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I thought it was hilarious. He matched with some girl in Indiana after they played the Hoosiers, and he used the line, who's your daddy, with H-O-O-S-I-E-R. I thought it was genius. She said, that's the best you got with a Duke education. It was a very funny Tinder exchange if you haven't seen it. So I don't know if you've used that line before, Brian, when you've been in Indiana, but...
No, I'm much more subtle.
Oh, are you?
Come here, girl!
Jeez. All right, time to get to our picks. We don't have a ton of time, so let's get right to it. So last week... I was 4-2.
So?
You were 1-5.
And?
That means that I've got an 8-game lead on you, 38-31, with Brian at 36-3. So an 8-game lead is a large one to overcome. We'll see if Brian can do it. We'll start with the college football weekend. I'm going to go all championship games here, of course. First, going to start with Clemson -9 in the ACC title game against Miami. I saw Miami in person at Pitt. Do I expect it to play that poorly again? Probably not, but Clemson's been so unbelievably consistent. And the way that Pitt shut down that Miami run game and forced Rozier into looking like a guy who's never played a game before, if Pitt can do that up front in that game, Clemson's going to be able to do that tenfold. I think 9 is a gift spread in this one. I don't think it's going to be close. Miami's been playing so many close games. They've been eking it out. I think they got their just desserts or whatever that phrase is last week, and now it's going to fall apart. Give me Clemson -9 in the ACC title game. Ohio State -6 in the Big Ten title game against Wisconsin. Hurts me to say that. I want desperately for Wisconsin to win. I just think Ohio State's too explosive, and they're going to get up in this game at some point, either early, mid-game, or late, and then that's just going to be the end of it because Wisconsin needs to be running the ball. They need to slow this game down, and they're going to be playing great defense. I think Ohio State covers and wins a Big Ten championship game. And give me Georgia. I pick Georgia almost every single week, and they've paid off. It's probably why I have such a big lead over Brian. I just think that they're not going to come out and play as poorly as they did last time. The Kerryon Johnson injury certainly is one that factors into this decision, but this is going to be Jake Fromm doing the things he wasn't able to do in the last matchup. Give me Georgia +2 to win the SEC title. Brian?
All right, let's start in the AAC. Our boy Mike Oresko, Memphis in the rematch versus UCF. Give me UCF -7 in this one. Two are the highest scoring offenses in all of college football. UCF is number one, scoring 48 points a game. The last five for Memphis, they've averaged 41 points. The big problem for them is their defense gives up 30 points a game. And the Knights D, they're only allowing about 21, 22 points. And the Knights faced a running quarterback, a dual threat guy in Quentin Flowers last week, and Quentin Flowers put up over 500 yards of offense on them, actually 600 yards of offense, but they won't have that threat from Riley Ferguson, the Memphis quarterback. Let's go off the reservation a little bit. Akron and Toledo. I'm taking Toledo -21.5. The first meeting, Toledo won 48-21. Logan Woodside has so many weapons at his disposal for the Rockets. Cody Thompson at receiver, Deontay Johnson at receiver, and Terry Swanson running the rock, averaging over 100 yards a game. Akron, they don't know who's going to play quarterback. It's been Cato Nelson. He was thrust into action after they sat Thomas Woodson. And last but not least in the college ranks, I'm going to take Auburn -2. Kerryon Johnson, we'll see if he can hold up, but that defense is more than capable.
All right, to the NFL. This Indianapolis Colts defense is better than I thought it was. I played a couple of guys in fantasy with the Steelers against them, the Titans against them, and they never did anything against that defense. That was at home in Indianapolis, and this game on the road, but I think that that defense will travel well. And Jacksonville still offensively not that great. 9.5 points is just too much. I could see this game being 14-10, 13-6, something like that. With Jacksonville winning, but I think Indianapolis covers that 9.5. Give me Indy +9.5 at Jacksonville. I'm all in on Garoppolo, man, and I think that the Chicago Bears are awful. So San Francisco +3, traveling to Chicago. Yes, tough defense, whatever. But, I mean, there's enough weapons there that Garoppolo will be able to utilize where I think that they can keep this game close. I think they're going to win it. I think Garoppolo's going to play really well. It's that tough Chicago defense on the road. And lastly, I don't know why I'm doing this. This is just going to come back to bite me, but Kansas City cannot be this bad. They can't totally fall off the face of the earth. They're right there about to do it. And if they end up coming out and can't do anything offensively again against the Jets, well, then it's completely over. I just don't think it's completely over. You saw the Cowboys break out offensively last night. I think you'll see the same thing from the Chiefs. KC -3.5 at the Jets.
All right, I'm going to start with the Packers and the Buccaneers. Give me the Packers -2. Brett Hundley played his best game as a pro. Career high, 3 touchdowns on the road at Pittsburgh. Jamal Williams was running the rock pretty nicely as well. So I'm going to take the Packers at home -2. Tampa with Winston coming back won't be enough for them to get that victory. And I'm going to stay with a home team. How about Buffalo? I'm going to take Buffalo +9 versus the Patriots. Tyrod Taylor, after he was insulted and taken out of the starting lineup, helped them win on the road at KC last week, and he's pretty good at home versus division foes. In the last few games, last three, 7 touchdowns, only 1 interception. LeSean McCoy, he gets off at home as well. So I'm taking Buffalo +9. And then Baltimore, Detroit. I know Baltimore has a heck of a defense. The Lions, they really need this ball game. Matthew Stafford is just 1 of 3 in the NFL with 3,000-plus yards and 20-plus TD passes. He will find the elixir for that Ravens defense. I'm taking Detroit +3.
All right, those Brian's NFL picks. He went 0-3 with them last week, so proceed with caution on those. Make sure that you double-check them.
You spend your life savings on those picks.
No,
how about that?
No. Don't do such a thing, please.
All right, you're gonna regret it.
Yeah. Well, it's been a rough year for you in those picks. Tell you that much.
Hey, it has been rough. That's all right. I'm winning elsewhere.
Right, where you don't have to pick with the spread, which is.
Well, put your money up, big boy.
Who's big boy? What do you mean?
You.
What's big?
Put your money on the line with the spread.
I do, sort of. I mean, with you.
No, sort of.
I mean, if I did, I'd be killing you.
Well, do it. If you did, right. If you did.
Well, what do you mean?
Money up.
You mean this week you want to do put money up? All right, we'll talk off the air. How about that? We're running out of time.
Bye.
Right. Yeah, see ya. Thanks to Bruce Feldman, Mikey B, Petey Meats, Coop, Bogish, Jock Alone, who's not here. Gio and Jones, have a great weekend. CBS Sports Radio.